This month of January, of course, is stewardship. So we're talking about different things that we need to be responsible for, personal life and in our church. And so tonight we're going to talk about a ministry that is as important as anything I've talked about. It's as important as the soul winning. It's as important as the teaching. It's important as the singing. It's as important as being a deacon in the church. It's as important. And let me tell you, it's something that everybody in this church can embrace and be a part of. Heavenly Father, may you help me as I preach tonight on this very critical, very important ministry that we should be involved in. Help me to have just a fresh breath of breathing into this subject tonight. Help me, Father, to help speak what you want. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I was in Bible chapel one day and Dr. Bob Jones Jr. got up. He said there was a lady that had been on faculty at Bob Jones University for a good number of years. She was a retired missionary. I think, if I remember right, she was either to China or someplace like that, where the doors had closed, where she could no longer be a missionary, and she was older, and so she came and she taught on faculty teaching missions, and young ladies in particular going out on the mission field. Her name was Grace Haight, one of the dormitories named after her. Grace Haight, he said, greatly impressed her because she was probably, he said, one of the greatest women, of prayer that he'd ever met in his life. So that she just was known. I mean, anybody that had a prayer request always wanted to make sure she had the request, and they knew that she was going to prevail with them until it was answered. And he said he knew this. He said this was a godly woman, but he said one day she died. And a friend of the university was a mortician, and he called Dr. Bob Jr. He said, I think I would like to show you something. He said, I don't usually do this, but would you just please come in the back room? We're preparing the body of Grace Haight. And he said, I've never seen anything like this in my life before. And he just sort of pulled up her skirt a little bit, and he showed her knees had calluses thick like a camel would have knee calluses on its knees from kneeling. He said, I, in all my years ever of being a mortician, have never seen somebody that prayed like this before. A lady of earnest prayer. Her heart, her body could not go to the mission field, but her heart never left. When they cleaned up her room, just a very simple room, they went in to go around, and they found all over the room, laid there, were maps. Next to her bed, in the bed, laying there beside her, were maps. They unrolled them, and they would see names written all over the world that she prayed for. And then they would see very dirty stains where they could see that her hand had rubbed over there while she'd prayed over those names. And then they could see watermarks, and they began to realize they were tear stains that had rolled down those maps. And he said, it made me ashamed of my prayer life to think that this lady, he said, what an amazing thing to think that this lady loved Bob Jones University. And he was talking from his perspective, and he said, it made me realize the power of this place was not in the Bob Jones name or all of our talents. It was people like this that prayed over the years. And it just seems like just recently there have been people that I touch base with that maybe we've known from the past, or people like you that are here, and they'll say to me, Pastor, I want you to know that I pray for you and Westside Baptist Church every single day. I would say when I was a younger pastor, I would probably think in my mind or heart, well, thank you. But I realize truly the strength of any church is the strength of its prayer support. We know that missionaries say that all the time, do we not? They say they would rather maybe have your prayer support than your financial check coming if they really felt you were praying earnestly for them. I want to talk tonight to us a little bit about our prayer ministry. Everybody here can do it. There's not the youngest, the oldest, the infirm, the most energetic of us. We all can embrace this prayer ministry. When I was in Bible college, another man, another dormitory named after him, Dr. Ernest Reveal, ran a rescue ministry up in Evansville, Indiana. And story after story when I was in Bible college of this man, that when you go to preach for him or you'd contact his ministry, when you would walk around, he was a person that as he would talk, he'd be talking to you, and then he'd be talking to the Lord as if the Lord was always the third person in the conversation. They said it was sort of crazy at first. You know, you'd be talking along, and he'd be talking to the Lord, and be talking along, and be talking to the Lord. And he said, different ones that talked about that said, it was an experience that would change your prayer life to be around Dr. Reveal. When I traveled to Neighborhood Bible Time, Brother Holmshire, you've heard me talk a lot about Brother Holmshire. You know, Brother Holmshire was an amazing man. He was a man that could have been quite wealthy and done a lot of other things in his life, but he poured all that he had into Neighborhood Bible Time. It'll be interesting in eternity to see how many souls were touched through that program. But every time I was around Brother Holmshire, 3 years of training with him in the summers, he flew in different times into our ministry. It was so common that you would be talking along and say, well, Brother Holmshire, we're thinking about having an auditorium. He'd say, well, what would you think? We're looking at a 450-seat auditorium, and how much money are you trying to raise? Well, this is the amount we're thinking about it might cost and have these different things. Next thing you know, he'd grab you by the neck. I don't mean he would grab you by the neck, take you down to the ground on the knees, and he'd just say, God, you know Rich Butts' church needs a new auditorium. And one weekend he flew in. My wife can vouch for this. I prayed more that weekend than I prayed in 10 weeks. I bet you he prayed 50 times that weekend. Every time we talk about an individual or a ministry or a dream, it'd be down on our knees in prayer. And you wonder how he was able to touch thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of souls every summer in his lifetime. Because he was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. Unashamedly, unabashedly. The last board meeting that I went to when I was on the board at Bible Time, Brother Holmshire flew out to Boulder, Colorado. And as we were there with men that are on that board, some of these men were multimillionaires, flew in on their corporate jets to be there for this. And I would watch Brother Holmshire just grab those guys. Here they are, big old wealthy guys, by the neck and say, let's pray. And I tell you what, it was so real. And those men would go and learn how to pray. And those men would man to man to man would say, this man taught us to pray. This man lived prayer. You know, these people are people that I've experienced. I could go on with other people that I've known. You've heard the story of D.L. Moody as he came to England. He'd been having revivals in America. Reputation had gone to England that Moody was a man where thousands were being saved. One day he did take that trip to England, and as he came to the first big church to hold the first service, literally dozens got saved in the morning and the evening service. And D.L. Moody said, we've had success in America, but right on, this area is ripe. I can't believe how God has moved in this church service from the very beginning. He said, Pastor, what do you think is the reason? He said, I will introduce you to the reason. And they got into whatever vehicle at that period of time, and they went out to a house way out on the edge of town that was sitting there, and there were two sisters. There were elderly, and we would call them now, there were people that were confined to their home. So these two sisters heard about your ministry. And they heard about 5 or 6 years ago, and they've not ceased every day to ask God to send D.L. Moody to our church. I'm trying to give you an idea of the power of prayer tonight. You may not feel like you're the greatest singer, the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher, the greatest anything, but we all can pray. We all can pray. And I would, if I could, in all of our stewardship, if we would really gain a freshness in the urgency and the earnestness and the dedication of prayer, we, the Bible says it, can move mountains. What's a mountain? The impossible. The unimaginable. That which is infinitely bigger than we could see to be done can be moved by the hand of God. There's a lot of things that need to be done. We all have things that just seem so, like, it's just the way life is, and I cannot imagine such a thing happening. And yet today I mentioned the man that got saved in the morning service. That was an impossible mountain that moved this morning in our midst. We don't take the credit for it. Somebody else's prevailing prayers were answered today. I would like to be a part of that kind of thing in my lifetime as a routine, wouldn't you? I mean, but it's not easy. It's not something you just say, okay, I'm going to be that kind of person. It takes a lot of thought, and it takes a lot of focus on that. When our church started, I prayed and asked God to direct me to the spot where He wanted me to start, and God led us to Spring Branch, west side of Houston. That's why it's Westside Baptist Church. Within the first 6 months, the Lord showed me in different ways that it wasn't so much my prayers that were answered. There was a family, they became very active in our church, named the Sandifers. Down the street, we went knocking on doors, and they had gotten saved, and they had come back to visit on the west side of town, and there wasn't any fundamental independent Baptist churches even dreamed on the west side of town. And they said, God, give us a church to come to when we muster out of the Marines and the Air Force in a few months. And lo and behold, Westside Baptist Church, a block and a half down, rented a storefront. And their mother-in-law called them up and said, one of those independent fundamental churches that you're talking about has opened up. I suppose that's where you're going to want to go when you come home. Well, they came back, one of the most active families in our church, they had been praying for God to put a church where they could worship. About three houses down, we went knocking on doors, and we began to have a Bible study. And every Thursday night, that's when we had visitation back then, every Thursday night, the man that helped me start the church, Doug Boyce, after making other visits, would go there at 8:30 and hold a Bible study for an hour with this man that was showing extreme interest. After studying with him for 2.5 months, one night as they were discussing, he said, tell me a little about your family. He said, well, my wife is from Pennsylvania. Well, if you know Doug Boyce, he's from Pennsylvania. And he said, that's interesting. He said, yes, and my wife's mother has a brother up there that's a pastor, really. And I think he's been praying that God would send somebody like you to come and have a, you know, witness to him. And I think you're an answer to prayer. Doug said, that's interesting. He said, do you happen to know who that is? He said, I'm not sure who it is, but next week I'll tell you. The next week when he got done having the Bible study, the man said, well, I looked up that pastor's name, and he laid it down. It was the church that Doug Boyce had come from before he moved to Houston. And that pastor had said, he'd been praying, God help Doug Boyce to be in a place where he can witness to my niece and my nephew-in-law. On in those first months of our church, I began to realize God placed Westside Baptist Church on the west side of Houston because of prayer. Listen, God is able to do amazing, great things that we cannot imagine. How many of you have a relative somewhere that you'd like to be saved and you don't even have a clue how to get him in a church? Start praying about it. God can open a church right across the road from him. He can have somebody come out of the blue and just knock on their door and open up the Bible and win them to Christ when they won't even talk to you. Prayer is powerful. Last month I was down at the Circle K down here, and this lady that I've seen for quite a while, she came up to me. She's Oriental. She said, "Hello there, Mr. Pastor." Hello. I tried to witness to her. She said, "You know how to pray?" I said, "Yes. I need prayer." And she began to unroll a whole situation of a relative that they are so burdened for, and he's down for the count in drugs and drinking. And let me tell you what, I talked to her yesterday. She said, "God answers prayer." Prayer is a big ministry. I'm just laying groundwork for us. Prayer is important. It's not like, "Oh, all I can do is pray." That's not the way a prayer is. Prayer is. Prayer is a premium ministry. It's a valuable ministry. It's a doable ministry. Hebrews 4, look at verse 16, please. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Number one, tonight, learn to be direct in your prayers. Learn to be direct. Let us come boldly. That's not with a cocky confidence that I have the right to be in here, and you better do what I say, God, because I've got your arm twisted around your back by some promise. But it is a confidence that we come boldly, directly to God, and that He will entertain our prayers. I'm not dependent on somebody else having to pray for me. I know whether two or three are gathered together, there's strength in prayer, and we can name things why we pray together. But one of the things that we believe in is the priesthood of the individual believer. You do not need Pastor Butts to intercede for you in prayer to get to God. You can go directly to the Lord in prayer. That's huge. I am not Father Butts, and you come and confess to me, and I am your mediator between God and man. His name is Jesus, and He has invited me to come boldly. Can I say to you, when you have prayer requests, make a beeline to God. And don't apologize. One of the things that sometimes I think Satan works on all of us, maybe we haven't prayed as soon in the equation as we should. Maybe we seem like, "Well, Pastor, I messed it up, and I should have done this first, or I'm not exactly perfect with God all the time, so how can I be bold?" God tells us to come boldly to Him. Every once in a while, I joke with maybe one of the teachers in the Christian school. They'll come in and they'll say, "I've been trying to do this and this and this. What's your problem?" I'll say, "Oh, why didn't you say that? Open up a drawer. Here it is." "Oh, Pastor," I said, "you should have come earlier." We need to learn to come boldly, directly to God. I don't know why it is. I know this is true of Richard Butts. I work and work and work and try to do it myself so many times. I should have started at the throne of grace. Directly, boldly. Do you have some things? What's the verse? "Help in the time of need." Find grace and help. Grace is the ability to go through it and not go crazy. And help gets the job done. Boldly, let your prayers be directly to God. Number two, turn to Psalm 55, please. Psalm 55. Look at verse 17. Psalm 55, 16 and 17. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Evening, morning, and at noon. David was disciplined in his prayer. He went regularly. He had regular times with God. How about Daniel? Don't talk to any other god except for the king. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians, stamped. But the enemies of Daniel knew that he was a man of discipline and commitment. And they knew what was going to happen the next morning. How was Daniel going to start his day? He was going to open his windows towards Jerusalem, and he was going to pray to God because he was a man of discipline in his prayer. Does God know he's going to meet you tomorrow morning? Is God expecting you? Here, David met God morning, noon, and night. I don't think you necessarily have to meet God three times a day or at morning or noon, but we need to be disciplined in our prayers. Not just saying the Lord's Prayer, not just saying prayers or prayers. We need to learn to spend quality time with God that's committed. Just as I would get up and breathe, I would talk to God. Just as I would eat my snack at lunch or whatever it is, I would talk with God. Just as I would make my bed and peel the covers back, I would talk with God. Do you have a discipline to your prayer life? Or is it hit and miss when there's an emergency? I'm glad God hears emergency prayers. Amen. But I think God likes disciplined prayer just as much. Consistent, disciplined prayers are powerful prayers. Can I say that again? Consistent, disciplined prayers are powerful prayers. God's looking for some prayer warriors that have a life that's committed to prayer. I told you about the voices that helped us start the church. Just within the first weeks of starting our church, Mrs. Boyce went out to help at a field day at the Christian school. And when she was helping, somebody said, come out and play with us. We're going to all take turns at playing bat. Well, she had a bad back. She shouldn't have done it. And when she swung the bat and she went around, it went... And at that point, she almost went to the ground. She went to the emergency room right after that. And she was in bed for days and weeks. And when she would come to the church service, she always had pillows. And she would stand many times just to even get to the church services. And she said, Pastor, there just isn't anything I can do. All I can do for the church is pray. I said, don't just say that's all you can do. Prayer is a critical part. You can do that. You can do that. When I was in Bible college, I keep going back to Bible college today, but when I was in Bible college, there was a man that came on our campus that was paraplegic. He couldn't control his arms and he couldn't control his feet, and his head went like this quite a bit most of the time. Brilliant student, but that's the way it was. He was the first guy that we had on campus that they got a golf cart for us, and different ones in his group would meet him at different doors and help him. And to get up and down stairs, they would take him, and they even rearranged to have most of his classes on first floor because it was neat to have him as a student. But he felt frustrated. How does a paraplegic go door to door? How does a paraplegic teach a Sunday school class? How does a paraplegic participate in the music? There didn't seem to be any way to use his talents. And he heard a message on prayer. And so he said, okay, I can pray. But what am I going to pray about? And then it struck him. Here's 1,000 preacher boys going out every weekend, all over South Carolina, North Carolina, down into Georgia. And he contacted the head of the preacher boys department. And he said, I'm going to come every Wednesday. And anybody that's headed out on a weekend to preach in a jail or have a youth rally or anything that they have, write it on a piece of paper. And while you're gone all day Saturday ministering this way, I promise you, I will pray. Can I tell you, disciplined prayers make a difference. And so every Saturday, just like anybody else would discipline themselves to do something else, he would discipline himself to prayer. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. That was mentioned in our verses that somebody quoted today or tonight. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at the last part of that verse. Let your requests be made known. Be deliberate in your prayers. Get specific. Let your requests be made known. Years and years I've said from the pulpit, and I say it when we're out, let's don't pray general prayers, let's pray specific prayers. Let me give you an example. God bless our missionaries, and everybody says, amen. How about, Lord, be with Brother Pope in Thailand. Be with Ashley Tackett as she flies out tomorrow night, and she goes to the Philippines and starts a brand new chapter of missions. Lord, be with Christine and Eric Mossman as they are on the next 3 or 4 weeks headed out to 32 different churches, traveling from north to east to south to west, and he said today, even to Quebec. That is a specific prayer for a missionary. Put a name with it. Lord, help people to be saved. Let's find out some people that we're wanting to witness to, and let's claim them for God by name. God, help Johnny's Uncle Joe to get saved. Help so-and-so's neighbor to get saved. Help so-and-so's brother to get saved. Lord, help so-and-so's boss at work that they're witnessing to get saved. Let's get specific. Statement that I say from time to time, general prayers get general answers. Specific prayers get specific answers. Do you have something specifically that you would like to see done for God? Let's pray together. Let's write down those things and let's pray specifically, asking and pleading and begging for God to do whatever the need is. Lord, so-and-so needs to sell their house. Lord, so-and-so needs a job. Lord, so-and-so has cancer and they need comfort. Lord, so-and-so needs help on their bus route. They can't get it rolling. Lord, help this specific. Be deliberate in your prayers. Do you have some things you've been praying for specifically for a long time? I would encourage you, if you've not done this, maybe in a long time or you're not used to doing it, get a prayer list. A prayer journal. You can do it any way you want. You can make a list of them. When I first was saved, I wrote all these prayer requests in those pages in the back of my Bible. And when it was answered, I would put a check mark and write right next to it. And I tell you what, pretty soon I had as many answers as I had prayer requests. It was a great encouragement to me as a young man that God had taken a specific prayer request and gives specific answers. Let's pray deliberately, on purpose. Let your request be made known unto God. He said, well, he already knows about it. He has said, come and tell me. Come and tell me. So I encourage you tonight in your prayer request. We've covered three things. We're going with these tonight. Make them direct. Go right to God. Make them disciplined. Stick with them. Have a regimen of prayer. Be deliberate. Make them specific. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall knock and it. Number four, be diligent. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. In my notes, I put down here, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Until God does something. Be diligent. Don't just pray about it and forget about it. Yes, forget about it in the sense that I've given it to God. But God says that we come to Him and knock and knock and knock until God's hand moves. Do you stick with prayer? Do you claim prayer? Do you have that power in your prayer to stick in there and keep after it? I would dare say there's some of us here that we've got some prayer requests that have been long time. Can I tell you the most long-lasting prayer at Westside Baptist Church? And I hesitate to make this, I don't want it to be aimed to the person, but it is the longest standing prayer request at Westside Baptist Church. Mrs. Capizzo's husband. I'm waiting for God to work on his heart. We used to pray for him every prayer meeting when our church was young. I don't know that I heard his name recently. I blame Pastor Butts more than anybody else. That's the longest standing, specific prayer request. Long time ago, I wrote next in my Bible where it says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Michael Capizzo. Be diligent. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until God does something. Quoted again today in our verses with Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things." Well, know us not. Boy, what a wonderful answer to prayer that is. What a wonderful prayer promise that is. Great and mighty things. What's the D for this? Be dynamic in your prayer request. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too hard for God. I was at a Bible conference, and I heard the story from Brother Malone. He's an old preacher, pastor up near Detroit. He got up and gave his testimony. He said, "Young man, we'd like to just tell you how Pontiac Baptist Church came into existence." He said, "I went out and knocked on doors. We met in this little teeny building, and we soon outgrow this building." And he said, "We needed to get ready for a new building." And he said, "I was walking down one day, and I looked at this building. It had a for sale sign on it, and it's a big, beautiful, it would answer everything we would need for years." And he said, "Man, I would love to have that building." Like, yeah, right. He said, "Lord, I would really like to have that building." He began to pray for that building. "Lord, we could use that building. Lord, we need that building. Lord, if we had that building, we could reach this side of Detroit, right out here in Pontiac. Lord, help us to have that building." But nothing seemed to be happening. And then he read the story of Joshua taking the city of Jericho. You remember the story. Joshua met Jesus, the captain of his salvation, out before. "What do we need to do?" He said, "Go up there and walk around one time and every day. And on the seventh day, walk around seven times and blow the trumpet. And God," and the walls came tumbling down. And he said, "It was just as if God told me, that's what I want you to do, to believe me." So he said he felt rather he was being presumptuous, but he said, "God, I claim this building. You've laid it on my heart." And he walked around that building at night. "Lord, give us this building. Lord, give us this building. Lord, I claim this building. Lord, give us this building." And he went home, went to bed. The next night, "Lord, give us this building. Lord, give us this building. Lord, give us this building. Lord, give us this building." And he went home. He went like that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you know what he did. Seventh day, seven times, walking around this huge, a whole block, walking around. and claiming that building for Jesus Christ. He said, boys, you have no clue. We had no money. We had no big congregation. We had no denomination behind us. There was no way we should have that building. But God had laid on my heart that we needed that building. After he got done, he approached whoever it was, and to his surprise, that building was in receivership. There was a big problem with it. Before you knew it, they had the building. When I traveled to Neighborhood Bible Time, I held a Neighborhood Bible Time crusade in that building. What an amazing thing. A man had claimed a building beyond belief. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So, 2007, I got up and I remember going to the deacon board of our church and saying, you know, we've been waiting for a few years to move Westside Baptist Church, and God had said, not yet, not yet. We were trying to save money. We didn't get much saved up. We were trying, but nobody was really giving yet. And I can remember going to the church and saying, it's time. $1.1 million to buy this property. Now, that is a lot of money. I said, Lord, we sure need this. The men said we need it. We put up this little road on the side of our auditorium. It was a road, and it was sort of a picture of us driving out to Katy from Spring Branch, and it had all the different roads, Derry, Ashford, and Highway 6, and Greenhouse, and finally, till we came to Mason, we would have $1 million in our hands. We didn't get much past Derry, Ashford. I mean, it was just, we were just this little Volkswagen we had just along. And I remember the story of Brother Malone. And it wasn't until a few years ago I even told anybody about my wife. I said, I'm going to come out and claim this property for Jesus. And I walked around it one night, another night, another night, and then the seventh day, seven times. We called up the banks and they said, you didn't get the loan. And I said, Lord, it was supposed to work. And I can remember driving, saying, Lord, I don't understand. Through a whole lot of different things, God says, just trust me. 1 week later, we had this building. I promise you, it was impossible. If you could go back, we have a few that have been here all this time. It was in 2007. Do you remember what happened economically in 2007? We had countrywide savings went bust. All these different things were happening. Nobody was giving loans except for God gave a loan. If we had disobeyed God and tried to buy that building even months later, there was no way it would have happened. Great and mighty things. I don't think we need to pray presumptuous prayers. Lord, you see that Cadillac? It's laid on my heart that I should have one of those. And if that doesn't do, I'll take a Ferrari. Okay. I'm having fun with that. Okay. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Claiming diamond rings and mink stoles and fancy cars and mansions to live in. That's Joel Osteen's prayer life. Good for him. I'm talking about doing the will of God. And can I challenge you tonight to learn to pray believing? Call unto God. And we're not talking now about just buildings and things. We're talking about moving those situations that just seem impossible. Does it seem impossible for America to ever come back and be revived? Hey, Nineveh was revived. God can do anything. God can do anything. So we're going through our different D's, and so underneath that D, we put the idea that we need to be dynamic in our prayer requests. Back to Philippians chapter 4 again, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. I'd like to talk about the word thanksgiving for a moment. When we pray, we need to be thankful for whatever God does do. Even the most sorrowful and horrific circumstances, we could say, God, thank you that you are still on the throne. And to learn to be delightful in our prayers. Lord, I delight in your will. Lord, I may not understand your will, but to learn to cultivate a praise attitude in our prayers. And to learn to thank God when he does answer prayer. If there's a part of our prayer life that is probably just not completed, that is that after God has moved, to say thank you. Jesus emphasized it with the 10 lepers that were healed. And as they went to the temple to show themselves to the priest, we talked about it on Thanksgiving. 9 of them just went on, oh, hallelujah, I'm praised. I'm. But one of them returned right to Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to learn to delight in prayer and to give God the glory, to return to him and say thank you to him. I think God is thankful for a cheerful giver, like it says on our plates. But could I just say maybe a little different? I think he delights in a cheerful prayer. A cheerful prayer. Do you delight yourself in the Lord? God, I delight in what you're doing in my life. I'm thankful for how you're working. Sometimes things are hard, some things are difficult, but I delight, Lord, that you entertain my prayers and that you move and to learn to cultivate a true delightsomeness in your prayers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 will be our last verse tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 8. Paul prayed because in verse 7, what did he have? Can you see what he had in verse 7? What did he have? I feel whispers. A thorn in the flesh. You ever had a thorn in the flesh? I've had a few. Matter of fact, I think I might have one right now. My foot's killing me, all right? It seems like the more I pray about it, the more it hurts. You ever have sometimes that hurt, that happens to you? Well, Paul had something like that. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord how many times? That it might depart from me. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, and reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Never be despondent in your prayer. What's it mean to be despondent? Somebody's discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Why would you be discouraged in this thing? Lord, take away my thorn of flesh. Lord, please take away the thorn of my flesh. Lord, please take away the thorn of my flesh. No, no, no. When God says no, don't get discouraged. When God says not now, don't get discouraged. When God says not that way, but this way, don't get discouraged. God has a plan. And God wants only good for his children. Do you believe that in your heart? So don't get despondent when it doesn't seem like the hand of God would move the way you think it should. God allowed for us to read what we read, and we've read it before, and we know of this passage in our scripture, to remind us that God has a much bigger plan than we'll ever understand until we get to heaven. When Paul saw that, he said, well, if that's the case, then make me weak. I'm glad to have the thorn in the flesh. If that's going to make me a powerful Christian, stick it in. But it isn't always that clear when we're praying. So don't get discouraged. Don't get despondent. Paul's thorn in the flesh was only God's grace needing and being ready to be manifested. With a lot of things we could talk about in praying tonight, but these seven things we talk about: be direct, be disciplined, be deliberate, be diligent. Be dynamic and believe great things. Be delightful and never be despondent. I would close with a couple things tonight. When we pray, let's remember we don't pray because we have a standing in ourselves. When I was a young Christian, I didn't always understand that our prayers technically are directed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Let's learn to pray in the power of God's presence. Heavenly Father, here's my prayer request. Lay it out. Let God help you, the Holy Spirit empower you, helping you to range and strengthen in your prayer request. And when you're done praying, make sure you pray in Jesus' name. When I was a young Christian in high school, it was sort of a big thing to have something called conversational prayer, where you just prayed and you just like you prayed, but you never said in Jesus' name. You just went from a sentence to this sentence. Christians, I think we need to go respectfully to God, and we need to remember that we are to pray in the name of Jesus because He's the one that's invited us in His name to pray. Several years ago, I began to notice, and it's not a sin, but I began to notice a habit that Christians have fallen into. Just get to the end of their prayer and say, in His name. And it just sort of began to sort of fester in my mind. That name's a very precious name to just sort of say, rubber stamp. And so I began to really encourage the men in the men's prayer meeting, and I began to encourage us as a church, and I would like to encourage you tonight. Don't just say, in His name. Why don't you just stop at the end of your prayer and before you finish it and think of that precious name. In Jesus' precious, wonderful, holy name. Let it be. Don't minimize that name. Don't let it be like a PS thought at the end of your prayer that nobody thinks about. Hesitate for a second. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, help me. And I ask all this to Jesus. Tonight I'm going to close the service with this time, and then we're going to have Ashley after this time speak to us for just a moment. But I'm going to close this part of our service with giving you an opportunity just to come and slip up to the altar. Perhaps you have a prayer request as you're going into 2019. Maybe you need to come directly to God tonight. You haven't brought that thing. You've been frustrated. Why don't you break that cycle, get up out of your seat, and bring it directly to the name of the Lord. Perhaps tonight you just need to believe God in a dynamic way for some things in your life that seem impossible. Why not tonight believe great and mighty things from God? Maybe tonight you've gotten discouraged in your prayers, and maybe even you've become a little desolate. God's not going to answer. Why don't you come tonight and say, God, I haven't lost my faith on this issue in prayer, and tonight I come diligently again. And God, I delight in whatever you're going to do. And I will not be discouraged because I know you love me. I'm going to ask Mrs. Butts to slip up to the piano and real lightly pray. Just play any old song, My Jesus, I Love Thee, anything that's just be accenting to us tonight. And we're going to take 4 or 5 minutes. You can come and go, but I'd encourage us, different ones, just come and let's bring some prayer requests to God. One last thing I would ask, would you put me towards the top of your prayer request as your pastor? That God would empower my ministry, not for my sake, but that God would do something special here through the leadership at Westside Baptist. I really earnestly beg your prayers that I could be all that I could be for God's grace. I need your prayers. I want them. I hunger after them. I thirst for them. I ask for them. Mrs. Butts, would you play? We'll all just be quiet.
On prayer.